The book of Exodus, chapter 15. This message is kind of born out of my life story and my life in general of how God has continually met my needs. And the message is salvation is of the Lord. Now, I'm not just talking about salvation, being born again. That's where you start. But the daily grace that God gives us to live in this life. Amen. And we're actually going to be in chapter 14 and chapter 15, but I'm going to start in 15 because this is at the end where God delivers the children of Israel across the sea and provides a great deliverance for them. And we find here the song of Moses that Miss Marjane sung about not too long ago, and it was it blessed our hearts, did it not? And so, but the verse 1, chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel." Notice it just wasn't Moses singing, the children of Israel. All right? "This song unto the Lord." It's unto the Lord. Amen? That's where our focus needs to be, is unto the Lord, right? "And spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. A horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Then he says, "The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." Father, I ask this morning that you might bless the reading and the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In these days of uncertainty, boy, I'm telling you, every time you turn on the news, every time you go somewhere, every time you hear of something, you hear of school shootings and a corrupt government and a corrupt system of government and just a corrupt way of life, people killing one another, people dying on the roads. It's all sorts of hardship. And you have, I read this morning where some missionaries in China that we support, one of the Chinese pastors, they invaded their church and they arrested the pastor and their family, and persecution all over, persecution in America against churches. Nothing like they're experiencing overseas, but nonetheless, there is persecution. And yet, while all these things are going on, everything seems troublesome. Everything seems fearful. Brother Ray talked about fearful this morning, and we're going to find in our text in chapter 14 where the children of Israel experienced a time of fear in their life. There's fear. The Bible says that perfect love, what, casteth out fear, right? Amen? But with all this going on, what is the believer to do? Are we supposed to be sitting around worried to death? I mean, shaking and fear and worry and upset? No, I find on the, James says to count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into diverse trials or temptations. Amen? And so while this is going on, people say, is there a solution? Sure, there's always a solution. There's always hope in Christ. Amen? Amen. The Bible is filled with many great examples how God worked in situations unimaginable, unfathomable to the minds of people, and what might seem like impossible circumstances. What might seem like your life could be in a mess and disarray, God can change it just like that. Now, Brother Ken said in his prayer, he asked that Christ would be magnified in your suffering. Amen? It's not that we, when we suffer, that, you know, when we sit in the mully grubs and we're whining and we're always down and we're always complaining, we're always moaning. Let me tell you what's not happening. You're not magnifying the Lord. Amen? You're not giving a witness of God is there. He's your help and your strength and your comfort. Moses said, he is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. Hey, that's a testimony. When we can lift our head up, yes, we may not feel well. We may be having a hard time. But let me tell you, when Marjane Boyd can get up here and sing this song and give glory to God and all that she's going through, let me tell you something. Hey, we need to lift our heads up high. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And they're not hearing it from the news channel. They're not hearing it from Washington. Washington. They need to hear it from the church. Amen? The church needs to be the impact. The Israelites faced some rough days. God had to do a lot of work in them in the wilderness. Think about it, they were in Egypt all those years. And there's a lot that they worshiped the idols, and they were under the slavery and the bondage of the Egyptians. But here they are, finally come to the point where the Lord tells Moses to go back, and Pharaoh finally lets the people go after all the plagues and all the pleadings. Pharaoh finally lets the people go. And then God brings them out into a wilderness, and they bring them up to the part of the Red Sea, Lord, right there. And as they come up to the sea, now it just wasn't like a big field of green grass and just a wonderful time. No, there were mountainous on one side. It was rugged, it was muddy, it was rocky. And here they are traveling up to the sea, and right behind them, Pharaoh and his armies after them, wants to bring them back to Egypt. Notice with me, first of all, the Israelites, in verse 1 and 3 of chapter 14, they were in a helpless situation. Notice they just left what seemed like, okay, everything's okay, we're leaving, we're heading out, we're going, we're following the leader that God has put in our path, and all of a sudden, they get out there, they're headed towards the Red Sea, and look who's behind them. The Pharaoh's army is just coming right down on them. Notice verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol in the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. So what Pharaoh sees, what the people see, is they look around, oh no, we're stuck here, we can't go anywhere. You know, we might feel the same way at times in our own life. My sinuses like to kick in when I'm preaching, Brother Ken. Brother Glenn, I don't understand it, but nonetheless. And then they say, oh, they're entangled in the land. They can't go anywhere. Sometimes you feel like that in your problems. The devil wants to tell you, hey, it ain't worth it. Just give up. Just quit. Just do it yourself. I know when we were making the decision, Chassie's last year of school, she wanted to go to our church had opened their school back up in North Georgia, Lighthouse Christian Academy, and I knew we didn't have the money to send her, but she was determined to go her senior year to Lighthouse Christian Academy. Now, that's where my heart wanted her to go. And some people say, well, you know, it's $3,400, just go out and get a loan. Oh, see, that's the world's mindset. That's real. Just get a loan for it. We said, no, we ain't getting along. We're going to trust God. And people, even godly folks tell us, go get a loan. Just get a loan. I'm not getting a loan. I'm not going in debt for the education. We're going to trust God. And I'm here to tell you, between Chastity, myself, and the Lord, that whole tuition was paid in a year's time without borrowing one penny from anybody. Let me tell you, the world says, follow the Lord, the will of the world. But God says, follow me. Amen? Amen? Listen, so they thought they were entangled in the land. The wilderness had shut them in. And then perhaps the children of Israel saying, has God made a mistake? He brought us out here. And later on, you'll see that. They'll say they had it better in Egypt. Isn't it amazing that when we get in a tight and things don't always go the way we always whine and complain, well, it was better back then. No, it wasn't. You were whining the same way then. Amen? So, no wonder the enemy says in Psalm 71:11, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver. Listen, the people in the later verses blame Moses for leading them out. So, it is with us, you know. Again, we want to whine and we want to complain in the midst of our situation. We say it's all helpless. There's no hope. There's no way out. My brother talked to him yesterday. I don't know if this was wise or stupid, but nonetheless, probably stupid. But when Hurricane Michael came through, they decided to wait it out in Panama City. They live in Panama City. And he said, I've never been so scared in all my life. But he says, the hand of God protected us. His wife attests to that. He said, or she said, there was houses all around them destroying and falling apart, and God kept them safe. Now, I'm not saying go out there and tempt God and say, okay, let Category 5 hurricane come, and I'm just going to wait here. No, I'm just saying there's times that, you know, what seems all helpless. Well, one reason they stayed because they first said it would be a Category 2 or 3 when it hit, and they've sat through those before, but it was a 5 when it hit. Things change, but how God protected them in their situation. Some this morning might be in dire situations with their health, with their job, maybe a marriage, in their home. What is the next step? I don't know. You say, I don't know what the next step is. It looks like a helpless situation. The number two, we see the children of God were paralyzed with a heart-sinking fear. Notice verse 10. It says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. The Israelites, again, they saw this army coming hot upon them. They thought they were finally out of the grips of Pharaoh and the army and of slavery. And here they are with a heart. They see it. Listen, that's what happens to us. A lot of times we get our eyes on the circumstances rather than our eyes on Jesus. And on God to help us and to strengthen us and to comfort us. And listen, it's not always going to be black and white. It's not always going to be such an easy step. But it's... Even in the times, Brother Glenn, even times when it seems like heaven is silent, what do? You stay faithful. You look to God. You keep your ear open for what He wants to say. You don't throw in the towel. You don't give up. You don't quit. You don't stop going to church. You don't stop reading your Bible. You don't stop giving to the Lord. You, in the dry period of life, you keep trusting the Lord. The Bible says salvation is of the Lord. Amen. Say it to yourself. Say it. Salvation is of the Lord. Do you believe it? Well, you say, well, He saved my soul. Well, but He saves you every day. He delivers you every day. He provides for you every day. He is your rock. He is my high tower. He is my strength. He is my redeemer. He is my grace. Amen? Amen. The children of Israel, though, had a hard time believing that He was the salvation of the Lord. They had a hard time believing that God was going to deliver them. Psalm 71, verse 12, the psalmist cries out and says, oh God, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste for my help. Listen, when you're at your wit's end, you cry for help. Listen, the Bible says, come unto me. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, burdened. Come unto me. God wants you to come to Him. He don't want you to pick up those bags of trouble and burdens and struggle and try to do it on your own. A lot of times we come to the altar, we lay those things down, but we really didn't lay them down, because when we get back up, we just pick those back up and say, Lord, I know You can do it, but You need my help. God doesn't need your help one bit. He needs you to trust Him. Prayer is not the last resort, it's the first resort. Amen? One writer said it this way, those entangled by the guiding spirit of conviction are shut up to the faith. All earthly help and hope must be cut off to make room for the deliverance of the Lord. Notice verse 11 and 12. And they said unto Moses, here it is, 11 and 12. Because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt with thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, they had to be Baptists, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Do you believe they were trusting God? Nope. That man, they were griping, they were grumbling, they were angry at Moses. They were doubting. And let me tell you, Satan wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to doubt. He wants you to distrust the Lord. And when we take our eyes off Christ and we stop finding our strength and our comfort in the Word, we'll start believing all sorts of nonsense. My brother, I was just talking about years and years ago, his wife, who was a devout, one of the most godliest Christian woman I've ever met in my life. When she had cancer, she had bone cancer. One day, I was ashamed of myself, honestly. I was off work, and I was headed to Publix, and my sister-in-law was Korean, and she such a godly, loved Jesus, man. Loved to tell people about Jesus. And I saw he decides, won't listen to the Lord, won't listen to the preacher. He goes to one of these palm reader, crystal ball jokers, you know, to find out the fate or the future of his wife. And he tells me this, I'm just floored that he would even do that. And that's what they tell you, that she's going to live. Really? Well, guess what? She died. What I'm telling you, don't go to the world. Go to the Lord. Amen? Those folks are just money makers. Let me move on. Notice with me, you not only have their cry and their fear, they're crying out, they're blaming Moses. But then notice verse 13 and 14. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. I can almost hear Moses, myself, telling him, fear not. Fear not. Quit your doubting. Quit your whining. Quit your complaining. Fear not. Stand still. Listen, a lot of times we just need to be still and hear the Lord. Amen? Be still in your struggles and your trials. Don't move ahead of Him. I know times are tough, but fear not. Deuteronomy 31 says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Isaiah 41:13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Some 62 instances in the Bible, the Lord tells them in Scripture to fear not. It's not just for them, it's for us. Amen? Fear not. Fear not. I believe the Lord's trying to tell us something. He is our present help in time of trouble. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. This salvation was not of works. It was the Lord will fight for you. And you know what? That's what we see in Nehemiah's day. I love the story of Nehemiah. How they had a mind to work. They were building out wall. They were restoring the gates. But man, they had their armor on. They were ready to fight. And God had delivered Nehemiah and the people
in building that wall. Listen, because their trust was in God, not in man. Your strength is to sit still and wait on the Lord. And so the Bible says, be still and know that He is God. But also quickly, notice with me the hand of deliverance. Verse 15 and 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Listen, before you start, before the world says, that can't happen. It's amazing to me. I was watching a little video clip the other day of a tsunami that hit Indonesia. It's amazing to me how that water can just pull right on back and leave the sand, you know, bare, and pull everything. And then you can't even see that wall of water coming. It just looks like a little ripple across. And man, that stuff comes right in and it destroys everything. Well, I don't know how God did it, but He did it. Amen? He delivered the people. God told Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. God was in the midst of His people. He was delivering them. He was about to deliver them from the enemy. He was about to deliver them with such a great deliverance. Notice 19 and 20. And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. So God, not only was He parting the sea, He put a cloud, a dark cloud, that the Egyptians could not even see Israel. Now, before you say this is Old Testament, not too long ago over in Israel, they had there was a clip I saw where the Palestinians were firing rockets into Israel. And on the news clip, it showed a wall of dust, like a cloud of dust, that was billowing up between the Palestinians in Israel, that they could not even see Israel. Let me tell you, this isn't just old. Listen, we serve a real God, amen? And there's also been reports that when they shot rockets, the rockets wouldn't even hit Israel, they were blowing up in the sky. Hey, this is God. Now, I'm telling you, when God says He's going to protect His people, He's going to protect His people. And so, God here had enclosed His people with protection from on high. God had blocked the way of the wicked from coming close. God had shined the light in the darkness to provide a way of escape. Do you see this? God is providing the way. And let me tell you, friend, today, Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except through Him. Amen? He's not one of many ways. He is the only way. And that's what He was showing the Israelites. You served all these gods over in Egypt where you said you had it better, but He said, I'm Jehovah. I'm the way, and I'm going to lead you to the promised land. I'm going to provide the path. I'm going to provide a way out of your problems and bless you and bring you to a land of milk and honey. Amen? That's the God I serve. Notice verse 15. A lot of times we hear the message. Our pastor preaches. He encourages us. He helps us get on board. But yet, there's something we have to do. We can't just sit there. Well, Brother Ken, that was a great message. Brother Ken, I appreciate those words of comfort and courage. I appreciate you telling me what I need to do in my problems. It's like you telling the doctor that, and you going home and say, boy, I know this could help me, but I'm just not going to take it. Notice what verse 15 says. Here's the solution. They could have stayed there. Notice the last part of verse 15. And speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward. It's time to move. Amen? Time to move forward. Stop sitting. Stop whining. Stop complaining. Stop fretting. Stop fearing. It's time to go. Get on the bus. Amen? It's time to get out of your whiny state. It's time to move on. Time to go forward. Why? Because salvation is of the Lord. The Israelites were saved, but they were also safe. When my God delivers me, He not only saves me, but He keeps me safe. He keeps me safe. He knows how to tear down. He knows how to protect me. And I don't need to know how. I just know I need to trust and walk with Him. And so then we come here to chapter 15, where we started out at. We see the hour of triumphant victory. We see the song here. It's a song of redemption. They had been redeemed by the blood out of Egypt, out of a house of bondage, delivered by the great power of God. Amen? There was a song of victory. Looking back, their enemies were cast into the sea. See, the Egyptians, they pursued. And as they pursued out into the to the sand, God let those waters come back, and He destroyed the Egyptians. And never again were they a problem to Israel. It was a song of victory. Oh, our sins, like the bloodthirsty Egyptians, were hotly pursuing us, and when there is no hand to help, came to Jesus, and He saved us and delivered us. And He continually delivers us and gives us victory. But also, it's a song of praise. Notice Moses and the people, the children of Israel, they sung a song unto the Lord. It was pouring forth of a heart's gratitude and thankfulness unto God that He had led them out. He had brought them through. He had overwhelmed their enemies. And listen, God deserves our praise. Amen? So much, I think, in church, what we sing a lot of times, and don't get me wrong, Brother Ken, I think, is preaching on heaven tonight. Is that what you're preaching on? We're going to heaven. Amen? But without Jesus, heaven would be nothing, right? I think a lot of what we focus on, we need to focus more on Jesus. Our life, our songs, our preaching, our prayers. Amen? Focus on Him as a song of praise for what God had done, but also as a song of testimony. Notice verse 2. He wasn't speaking in general terms, but notice verse 2. Of chapter 15, he says several times. He says, notice the my's in verse 2. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen? He is my strength. Notice verse 2 here. I've lost my place here. Give me just a minute. The Lord is my strength. Notice he's making it personal. He is become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare Him a habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. He made it personal. When you pray, don't pray in generalities. You have a relationship with Him. Talk to Him like He's your Father, because He is your Father. Amen? He's your Heavenly Father. I'm not interested in religion. I'm interested in a relationship with Christ. It was a song of testimony, talking about who God was to him. And listen, when God delivers you through your struggles and your problems, and He brings you through and He blesses you, listen, you'll be like Moses. You also will sing Him a song. You'll also praise Him out of your heart. And that's why when I sing songs like Great is Thy Faithfulness, I'm thinking all the way through the song of the many trials and problems and hardships and tough times and good things how God has brought us through. And I say, Great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord. But notice it was also a song of dedication. He says, I will prepare him in habitation. Moses decided to build him a house, a resting place among the people. You know, it's a natural thing is when God does something in our heart, we want to do something for him. We want to tell what God has done in our life. We want to give witness to that, to others. But also notice it was a united song. They sang, Moses and the children of Israel. They ascribe glory unto the Lord, for salvation is of the Lord. Amen? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Psalm 40, verse 3, And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:57, But thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not sure where you are this morning. I'm not sure what troubles you're having, what problems, but we all have them. Let me tell you, He is our salvation for life and for daily grace. Maybe you're burdened today. Maybe you need Jesus today. Will you come to Him? For salvation is of the Lord. God has an answer in your pain, in your trouble. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's a stronghold you're dealing with. God can help you and deliver you, provide a way of escape in your life. Let me leave you with this. Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed the stain away. Sing to Jesus. Sing to Jesus. Sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember when you walk, sometimes we fall. But fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and sleep has filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus. Cry to Jesus and live. And oh, when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain the joy inside, lift your hands to Jesus. Lift your hands to Jesus. Lift your hands to Jesus and live. Why? Because salvation is of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, will you bless and work in this time of commitment and imitation? And Jesus, may you receive all the glory, honor, and praise. Amen. Let's stand. Hymn number 243.